welcome to Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. My name's Tom.
I'm Reggie.
And I'm Shane.
And my name's Tom one more time.
And I'm Reggie.
And that's Shane.
And he's Tom.
And that's Reggie. Okay, so this week we are doing our therapy episode.
Well, we're keeping with the spooks themes.
Keeping with the spooky themes, we are doing our fears.
Whoa! Yes.
We decided y'all wanted to hear us get extra vulnerable tonight and really peel back the onion layers on what makes us tick as people.
Wait, are you saying we're ogres?
We are ogres.
Ogres have layers. Onions have layers.
And after this episode, everyone will know how to get to us.
That's true.
So for the record, my fears are sunshine, butterflies.
And money.
Yes. Lots of money. God, I just don't know what I would do if someone rained money.
Ugh, gross.
Well, fears are a very interesting thing. I feel like, obviously, a lot of them can seem irrational, but they actually stem from a lot of things from our evolution. For example, you know, and a lot of our fears were from when, you know, we were on all fours hunting and gathering and all that stuff. And now we have a modern lifestyle, and a lot of those fears evolved for a very different society. So, for example, you know, our ancestors didn't stress about taxes, but you having stomach issues because you're worried about money is actually left over from that part of your brain that evolved to freak out anytime you see something moving in the bushes and run away. So it's one of those things where we, you know, a lot of our fears and anxieties come from things way earlier in our evolution. You know, one interesting thing I read about in a book is the fear of public speaking, they think, came from a fear of being ostracized because, you know, back when in early societies, being ostracized basically meant you died. So that's one interesting thing there. The fear of heights. A lot of people get dizzy when they get close to the edge of like something. The fear of heights is actually a protective mechanism because it's our body basically saying like, you want to stay as far away from that as possible because you get dizzy when you get too close to heights.
Danger, danger.
So just, you know, a lot of fears just have these really interesting, quirks to them that just came from times when we were walking on all fours. But, you know, our modern society is like, what, 100, 200 years old, maybe 1,000, while us as humans are hundreds of thousands of years old. So, you know, all the things that our fears evolved during were for a long period of time before the tiny blip we're in now. So that's why we have all those weird fears.
Well, where does the fear of your glass of wine running out come from?
Probably back from when people died because they weren't having enough fun.
Yes.
Back from when you could die. So people didn't know that our ancestors could die of boredom.
Right. Oh, yeah, because back in the day was just chock full of things to do and those sticks to roll. And
actually, I think the fear of running out of wine came from the Greek god Dionysus.
Yeah. It came from being an alcoholic. No, I'm just kidding. Well, before we go any further into fear, have you guys done anything this week?
Yes, Shane, what have you done?
Whoa.
Well, I have done a few things, but one of those things that I haven't done is find a Halloween costume yet. And I'm really...
Do you have any ideas?
He's told us this already, and I tried to tell him that you always have a Halloween costume because you can just be naked and put a little bar across your thing and call it like a censored guy on TV.
Listen, Madonna had a music video where she walked naked and they censored it. And so one of the challenges in Drag Race was to recreate a Madonna look. And that's literally what a queen did, was she was nice. Completely naked except for a black bar across her boobies and a black bar across her tuck. And that was it. I mean, bare ass and all.
Wow.
You can do it.
I mean, I could, but...
Black bar guy.
Thinking of something, like, I want more costume.
Oh, okay. It might be chilly at the party.
That is true, yeah.
And there might be children there.
It's late fall.
My parties are different. There won't be children. Well,
at the beginning.
The beginning, right? Yeah. But Shane just wouldn't be invited to the beginning. And then late.
Shane's invited to the after dark.
Yes, that's right. Well, what are your plans to remedy the no costume?
I'm going to find a costume soon. I'm going to hit up I'm going to hit up some type of store that sells costumes soon. I would prefer an actual costume place if I could get to one in time, but I don't know if I'll be able to.
Johnson City on Roan Street in the skeleton of their old toys, the corpse of their old Toys R Us is a Halloween store that I went to. It's on the Babies R Us side.
Okay.
It's very interesting shopping for a Halloween costume in the corpse of your childhood.
Yeah.
In the corpse of your childhood. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that there's a spirit in Hickory.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lenore. And that's where we are planning on going this weekend. So maybe we should talk afterwards.
Yes.
I would live in a Halloween shop if I could.
Well, I mentioned the other week we went to Charleston. When we were there, we went to not just a Halloween store, like a spirit, but we also went to like an actual costume shop.
A real life costume
shop.
That's
where we got Corey's costume.
Yes.
And that made me wish that I could like sell everything I own and open a costume shop. But you'll get one. We'll help you.
I will, yes. I'm not worried about it. I just always get disappointed in myself because I've been thinking about this since August, that I need to go ahead and just get it now. I could order it offline and, you know, it should be here in plenty of times. And I just never landed on anything that was really completely solid, also that I could afford. Because there are costumes out there that I'm like, yes, I want. However, I can't afford hundreds of thousands of dollars yet. So
I don't want to pay $98 for something I'm going to wear twice.
That too.
Or wear multiple times around your house while playing video games.
I want people to see it.
Yeah. I got a costume at the spirit that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
I have not decided if that's what I'm still going to wear or if I'm going to get another one.
Oh, it was such a good costume though.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, besides being afraid of not having a costume, what else have you done?
I have been working like crazy to send in more submissions than I have in 1 week for my book to be published. So I'm sending several things to literary agents. And it may not seem like a lot, but submitting your work is a lot of work, especially when you have to tailor it to kind of each agent. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be copy and pasting every little thing. Like there are parts you can get away with that in, but overall, it's got to be tailored to the agent. So normally I try to do at least 3 a week. Just because of my schedule in life, that turns out to be a good number for me to work on. And I'm also starting out, so I feel like I'm still learning how to query agents the proper way. But this week I'm going to send out 10.
I don't think you can talk about that on the podcast, man. I'm sorry.
Ha, ha.
I'm the comedic relief of the group, right? I'm the funny one. Oh, wait, or am I the sexy one? Wait, no, I'm the
smart one.
I think
we're all the funny, sexy ones.
Oh, that's right. No.
But I'm the Justin Timberlake of the group.
I'm Lance.
I am Lou, the blimp guy.
If we're NSYNC, I'm Justin Timberlake. If we're Destiny's Child, Luke I'm the Cronin. Beyonce.
Oh, Shane, the Beyonce.
Me and Reggie are the Destiny's Children.
I hate him. I'm trying to interrupt me. You guys ever watched Kathy Griffin stand up?
Yes, I love it.
There's one of her stand-ups where she's talking about she interviewed Beyonce on the runway, and she said something to the effect of, if you're Destiny's Child, who's Destiny's Daddy? And the girls were so confused, and Beyonce finally just leaned forward and went, God?
Sean Clark?
So every time I hear the words Destiny's Child, the next thing that comes into my mind is, who's Destiny's Daddy?
Hova.
I always think of just poor Michelle, because I love all those memes and videos. I can't. It's guilty pleasure. I can't not love it.
We still talk about Kelly Rowland trying to text that guy through an Excel.
Text Nelly.
And then wondering why Nelly wasn't responding through her text through an Excel on her phone. Although Kelly was also in Freddy vs. Jason.
She was.
I think made the movie better, personally. Mm-hmm. I had been waiting for that movie for years. So when it came out, it wasn't the greatest movie in the world.
Kelly Rowland.
Yeah, Kelly Rowland. Destiny's Child was in that.
Exactly.
Like, what? Come on. All right. Sorry. Go on.
No. So, okay. That's my submission work that I'm doing. And well, speaking of trailers, we got the Scream trailer for the Scream 5/reboot.
Oh, I can't wait.
I listened to it.
You listened? You didn't watch it?
Reggie was showing it to Allison in his office, and the phone rang while I was.
And he was kind enough to answer
it. Oh, so look at you doing work at work.
I know.
Ew. It happens sometimes.
It has to happen sometimes.
But yeah, I am really excited for this movie. I am fearful for Dewey.
I'm fearful for Dewey, and I'm fearful for all of them.
You think someone's going to escape from jail?
They're all dead. Nobody.
Who's Lilith died?
Yeah, they all died.
Oh, I didn't know they died.
Have you never watched the Scream movies?
It's been a minute.
There's about to be a new Scream over here in a second. No, okay. She shoots boyfriend. Mm-hmm. What was his name? Oh my God.
I can't remember.
Lost his name. Whatever. Billy Loomis.
Mm-hmm.
She shoots Billy, and then Stu, she drops the TV on his head.
Nice.
After running him around. And then in, well, I don't want to spoil all the movies for everybody out there listening.
Well, I mean, at this point, those early movies are old enough where we can just say spoilers and then go on with life.
Spoilers. And then the second one, I'm pretty sure she shoots both of them.
Uh-huh. I think
so,
too.
The mom and the friend who was helping. Mm-hmm. And then in the third one, she stabs him in the heart with an ice pick and then eventually has to shoot him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn.
So there was no survivors besides the heroes. Unless it's going to turn out that one of the survivors was actually in on it the whole time.
No.
Somebody I know, well, I can't say I know them. Somebody I met told me that they got a chance to read a copy of the script for Scream.
Really?
And that the movie is going to have a lot of flashbacks to when they were in high school. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of CGI done to them to make them look
younger. That's awesome.
So... whether that's true or not, I don't know, but January can't get here fast enough because I'm excited.
I am very excited for it, too. I want to see – I've always been a huge fan of the Scream franchise. I like slasher movies. I don't think they do – you know, they don't go into gore for the sake of gore. not always.
Sometimes.
I mean, they get inventive with the way that they kill people, but they're not going Saw on them.
That's true. They're not locking them in a room and being like, all right, cut your leg off so you can get
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
I like minimalist slashers, like the kills off camera.
Mm-hmm. I like a lot of those, too.
I'm not a fan of gore.
Tom Sensitive.
But I also, you know, I enjoyed all the Scream movies. I loved the Scream TV shows. Even when they rebooted it, I enjoyed that one as well.
They were so... Tom's wife and I, Allison, were talking about that. And they weren't bad, but they weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just bad enough that you couldn't stop watching
exactly.
them. And they were just good enough that it was worth continuing mm-hmm. to watch.
Especially, like, after the first season, which I know they only really had two, but really after that first season, the survivors I got really attached to.
Yeah, and I really liked the Halloween special that they did. The little,
yes.
like, two-hour thing
uh-huh,
on the island.
The island.
I liked all of it. I thought it was all really good. I did predict who...
Mm-hmm.
One of the people involved in the first season was.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I also did not appreciate how her boyfriend died in that first episode.
No.
That was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to keep watching this show then a little bit longer just to see what else they do. I liked it. Thomas, mm-hmm. have you watched any of it?
No. I haven't seen all the Screams yet. Still
no, Tom.
Maybe we'll have a movie
yeah,
marathon
if you,
before then.
If you watch the new one, you really should see the others.
Well, maybe we should get together and watch them, like
I'm
all three of
it.
Us.
That'd be fun. We were on the verge of watching it the other night, but when I get into my list, I'll talk about what we watched instead.
All right. Well, the last thing that I have been nerding out on is a game that I downloaded on my Switch. It's Rockin' Racin' Off-Road for Switch. And essentially what it is, it's a pseudo kind of remake of Off-Road from the NES games where you're the four little cars that go in the tracks and sometimes, you know, they get more events with jumps and little water things.
Mm-hmm.
This one has eight cars in it. And I say it's a pseudo kind of remake because it's a bare bones remake. Like, I enjoy it. They made it a lot prettier. You race with eight cars now instead of four. However, you don't get to change colors. And some of the mechanics are a little harder to get used to on the Switch, but overall, it's the same game, and you get that nostalgia feeling if you are one of those off-road fans from the Super Nintendo days.
Nice.
So
I've been enjoying it, working on it.
Is there, like, unlockables as you play?
You unlock the other tracks as you go along, so you start out with four, and so you have to win the Grand Prix to unlock the next four. But after you unlock all... Oh, goodness. My math is bad. I think it's 24 tracks. That's it. That's
okay.
The game. But, I mean, that's how the older one was, too. You got so many tracks for playing it so long, and then they repeat. Sometimes they add a few other things, obstacles to make them harder, or they change the direction. The new one also changes from night to day. So,
are you big fans of those types of games?
I am.
Nice.
I liked that game. There was a game for Wii U called Wii Race that I really enjoyed, and that one, you know, took that concept, and you just had the overhead view. You don't get to change it, which I also like, because I read a bad review about how someone complained about that, and I'm like, you don't know this style of games. It's a style of games. It's not just something they decided to do for the Switch.
Yeah.
But for We Race, you could be like a rubber ducky, a bus, a dump truck. It was ridiculous. There was one mode where meteors would crash down on the track and your goal was to just survive as you race, and that was fun.
That's so cool.
Did y'all ever play, I don't know why the racing game made me think of it, but did y'all ever play the Nickelodeon Battle Royale game? Like the Super Smash Nickelodeon game?
The one that
I've not got it yet.
The new one?
Yeah.
No, we have not yet.
I saw an article recently that said that, like, look out, Super Smash Bros.
This yeah, I've heard really it's really good. And I saw that they added Korra and Aang to mm-hmm. the roster.
That's not fair. How can SpongeBob compete with Aang?
Well, how can April O'Neil compete with SpongeBob?
April O'Neil just like the Pokemon trainer in Super Smash Bros. Where she just has a ninja
turtle. She's a fighter because there's two other turtles in there. I know Leonardo.
All four of them are in there.
All four of them are? Okay. And then I know Ren and Stimpy, Cat Dog, Helga, Cinnamon Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy.
Reptar.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I like the people they were pulling for that roster, but I also am slightly disappointed with the roster, because I think Helga's the only one from Hey Arnold in there.
Please say Donnie from The Wild Thornberries is a character.
No, but no, only Nigel is. Well, that's because they're going to release DLC. You know what I mean? They're going to do the Smash Probably. Bros. Just like how Sora is finally coming to Smash Bros. Mm-hmm. It's only been 100,000 years. But
I still think their roster was really light, but it's the same way in Power Rangers.
No. Gotta release those sweet DLC money cash grabs.
Nintendo gives us a lot, and then they still give us DC. Just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, that's been my week.
It was a good week.
Good week. What about you, Reggie?
Oh, I didn't do anything this week. I've just been dead.
Okay, Tom.
I'm not looking at a whole table full of arts and crafts right now.
Yeah, so we did a bunch of Halloween arts and crafts
this
weekend.
You like Halloween?
I love Halloween. I know that's going to be a shock to everyone, but we painted canvases. I did a house, a spooky house with glitter, and I did
monster house,
like Rocky Horror lips, but with vampire fangs,
and they look really good.
Thank you. This is my favorite one. I hated it at first, but then when it was done, I really liked it. Corey did a trio of glitter. With a Frankenstein and a pumpkin with a gold tooth and a ghost with an eye patch.
A pumpkin with a gold tooth?
I love it.
And he also did a really cool, like, haunted house outline. Anyway, we just got together with some friends and did a bunch of crafts this weekend. It was really fun. And
did you guys just free paint those? Or were you, like, doing that thing where you just look at the picture that you want to paint and you paint?
No, I just did it.
Oh, that's great.
I didn't copy anything. My house looks like a third grader did it, but I'm not very good at drawing. But our friends also brought over like epoxy molds, so we did a bunch of like Halloween molds out of epoxy. These have holes in them so we can put strings on them.
Yes.
So they're like pendants.
Mm-hmm.
So I got fun Halloween jewelry to wear now and stuff.
And I'm pumpkins inside.
Yeah, pumpkins and ghosts and stuff. It's so cool. Halloween crafts, man. It's just so much fun.
I love Halloween.
Let's see. Been playing Borderlands. We're almost at level 30, which means we can almost play the Tiny Tina, which is what we've been working towards. That's really about it.
What game are we talking about? Couch Co-op?
Oh, Back 4 Blood. The Left 4 Dead came out, but there was no... Like, we went to play it. We've literally been counting down the days. Like, all day at work, we were talking about how much we can't wait to get home from work to play together. Get home, and then we're like, how do you connect player two? And then I Googled it, and there's absolutely no couch co-op in it.
Like, which is sad.
Have to play. Oh, somebody's calling me. It's about my extended warranty.
Oh, that's majorly important.
About your Jeep that you sold, like, 6 years ago.
So, actually, I was so upset I didn't even want to play it. So
it kills me when games don't have.
I kind of feel you, but then I also, when you especially told me how it's kind of like the Left 4 Dead 3, it's only a spiritual successor.
Well, I mean, Corey's been playing it because I told him
it looks really fun, but
it's like the old one. Like there's gun upgrades in the safe house and stuff like that where there wasn't in the other one, but it's still the same. Like you're trying to get from one safe house to the other.
Yeah,
and you guys are called the cleaners, and like you're cleaning up. The world, I guess, is what it is. Eventually I'll play it, I guess. And when you guys are able to play, we can
get online. It's going to work great for, like, us to play.
To play together. But it's still just a bummer that, like, That was the whole, that was like one of the best things about the Left 4 Dead games is the couch co-op.
My brother and I played those together and went through them together.
And did everything, I'm sure.
I mean, that's just always been my favorite part about video games is couch co-op.
And they're just really moving away from it. I'm very, very grateful that the newest Borderlands, Borderlands 3, kept true with the couch co-op. You can do up to 4 people, I think. I mean, of course, you have to have a giant television, otherwise you got a little bitty square to play out of.
I'm used to playing split screen N64 on like 11-inch
TV. Uh-huh,
same. We can do this.
Yeah. So that's really been about it. Of course, Halloween. So we've been watching a bunch of Halloween bakings and shows and movies and all that jazz.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited for Halloween, too. I can't wait.
As y'all can tell, since we've had, what, 4 consecutive Halloween episodes?
There may be a couple more coming, too. I don't know.
I think we're just a Halloween podcast.
Yeah, we're
a
Halloween podcast. Yep. Happy Halloween. No.
I feel like most people who listen to us love Halloween, so.
Hopefully. But that's been my week.
Good week. Good week.
Yes.
Tomoth, what have you done?
Oh, well, we took a long weekend for our schmanniversary.
Schmanniversary.
And we're taking another long weekend this weekend to go run a 24-hour relay race through Bourbon Country. We'll see how good that is for our marriage. Spending 24 hours in a van while extremely fatigued. But I'm very looking forward to that because I love bourbon. It's very tasty. But yeah, well, we also... Bourbon.
One scotch.
But so we watched a lot of movies this weekend, and they were all painful. We watched The Guilty. It was actually 2 Jake Gyllenhaal movies we watched. We watched The Guilty and Nocturnal Animals. Have y'all heard of those?
Only because you told me all about them.
Both are kind of trauma porn. So if you, you know, there's a warning there that if that's something that, you know, isn't something you can enjoy, stay away from those movies because there's a lot of, you know, like kind of mental illness type trauma. And then Nocturnal Animals has some violence against women in it. And I didn't like the Nocturnal Animals because they kind of, you know, y'all know what icing is?
Yes.
Where they, you know, murder women to advance the storyline of the male. So I didn't like that part of Nocturnal Animals, but both of them were extremely stressful, but like thrilling movies. I don't know why we chose to watch them when we were trying to relax. But they were very, very good. And then we watched Midnight Mass some more, got further into that. It's getting wild. And so
is it a series or a movie?
It's a mini series. So it's like seven episodes, I think.
Okay.
And then we had to detox and watch Office Space, which is always a classic. I texted Reggie, what the hell am I going to do with 40 subscriptions to Vibe? That's like my favorite line of any movie ever. But so just a lot of frustrating, painful movies this weekend and shows, but also a painful and frustrating game came out, which was Metroid Dread.
Painful and frustrating.
Painful and frustrating. I think that Nintendo got sick of Metroid fans and decided to punish them.
Oh no.
Because I was literally like, I'm gonna speed run this game tonight. I had put it down in like 10 minutes because it is hard and frustrating, and all of the puzzles you usually have to do with Metroid, you're doing them with something chasing you that you can't kill. So it's super fun and super wild. I've already y'all heard of the Emmy, the robots that chase you?
I mean, I've seen them in the previews.
Yeah, so I've killed the second Emmy. You get a special blaster, but there's I can already tell there's a lot of awesome fan service. And just very excited to see where it goes. I'll probably be talking about it quite a bit on the podcast because I love me some Metroid. But that was my week. I guess let's get into our fears.
Just do it.
So I will start my fears. I have a variety of them, but let's see. I'll start with the easy one, bees. I have always just been afraid of bees. I think just anything that causes the idea of anything that can like cause you pain is something I've always been avoidant of. Like, I ran away from the hepatitis B shot when we had got those in school. I never did well with vaccinations, or I don't do well with planned pain. So, like, the idea that there's something around me that could cause me pain. I've gotten better about my fear of bees, not including that giant one that flew into our house that I talked about.
What about when we go get our tattoos?
I've gotten better at, like, pain and stuff. Like, I can sit there and get my knee stitched up just fine. Okay. I've gotten a lot better with it. And I've gotten a lot better with bees, but I will say that, like, it's almost automatic at this point that if something buzzes around my head, I'm going to run away. And, like, and everyone's like, you should just stay calm. It's like, yeah, I'm trying.
This is me calm.
This was an automatic reaction. It's a reflex. Like, I can't just turn off a reflex. So, like, I'll be talking to, like, the kids when I'm coaching, and, like, a bee will fly around my head, and I'll just, like, go, and run away. So, yeah, not the biggest fan of bees. How do y'all feel about bees?
I love bees.
I love them because they pollinate the earth.
I don't have a problem with bees. You just... And I'm not saying, like, this is what you need to do, but what I do when bees are around is either snap or clap because they don't like the vibrations and that makes them go away.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys don't know that?
No. I did not know that.
Yeah, if a bee is around you, just start clapping like this or snapping around wherever they're flying around. The vibrations mess with their wings and it'll make them go away. Or at least that's what I was told by my
family. I'm fine with, like, honeybees and bumblebees, yellow jackets, wasps. Wasps are pretty chill, but, like, yellow jackets and hornets...
They are mean.
No, F all wasps? Of those. Yeah,
wasps are
F
pretty docile.
All of those. And there's, like, the huge giant ones that have been showing up here recently.
Cicada killers. Murder hornets.
The Japanese hornets.
Yeah, those are extremely rare. Usually when you're seeing those, they're, like, cicada killers or something.
Oh, well, we had, like, this acorn birdhouse at my mom's house in our tree one year. Like... not long ago, and they had, I mean, I'm not even kidding you, they were probably like the size of a hot dog. Like, they were huge.
Wow. When I saw one of those, I
pooped myself a little bit.
I would run with a trail of gasoline behind me and throw a match over my shoulder.
I mean, I'm fine with them. I have no issue. Like, I also have no issue, like, when they are in the house to, like, open something and then just wait for it to go out.
Nice. We are more level-headed than I am.
Oh, no, I have irrational fears, too.
Yeah, I've killed plenty of spiders for you before.
Yeah.
And by kill, I mean pick up and put outside.
Yes.
Should have killed them.
I'm sensitive.
With fire.
So another big, giant fear of mine, I've talked about on the podcast before, but I had a lot of bathroom issues growing up, a lot of anxiety about using the bathroom, and it came from the movie Look Who's Talking To. When the toilet grows teeth and talks and says it's going to bite that kid's ass off. It scarred me. And, like, literally I could not, like, when I would go to summer camp, I would go basically until I got sick without using the bathroom because I don't know what it was. I could not do, like, latrines growing up. I could not do porta johns. It had to be like a toilet in a bathroom that you could close the door and no one could go in.
I mean, porta johns are scary. I get that.
No, I literally left school in high school to go home to poop because I refused to. I only recently have been able to poop in public.
Yeah, in our.
It was our. It's
ratchet
our,
bathroom
it's
in our office.
Our work that made me have to, like, get over it.
Yeah. But it. It was rough. I mean, like, all the way to college, I found a legit just, like, single person bathroom in one of my favorite buildings that, like, no one knew about. That was my poop bathroom in college.
We used to have a single one at work in an abandoned hall, and it was great until someone went and smoked in it, and then they locked it forever.
What would you smoke in a bathroom?
I don't know.
You can go middle outside. School, apparently.
Yeah, well, where I work, yeah.
Where I went to high school, there was this constantly dip in the toilets.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Those, Tom and I went to the same high school, so yeah.
Those pouch ones.
Yep.
The snooses. Those were all over the urinals when I was in high school.
But yeah, lots of, like we said last week, never underestimate how much a small moment could scar a child for life in very big ways. Because that was literally... a dream in a movie. And I
so what was your fear fear of pooping or just fear of having the toilet get you?
It was irrational. It was just like anxiety around everything involving the bathroom. So that was a fun childhood.
No, I mean, I straight up get it. I didn't tell y'all the whole story about me when I was talking about how I hovered over the toilet because of the drill head dude. And no, I pooped myself for like a week because I refused to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
But I was like in first grade, so to be fair, I was stupid.
It was last week.
It was last week. Damn it, Shane.
Reggie's eyes are actually brown right now.
My eyes are brown.
They are.
The white parts are brown.
Oh, okay.
It's filling up with poop. So these next two kind of go with me being ADHD, but I am terrified of forgetting and losing things. Like I can put something down and literally like I could have my keys in my hand and then all of a sudden my keys will be gone. So like like losing things or like when I'm looking, like I'll be like ready to go for work super early, like all ready to go. And then it's like my phone and my keys are nowhere to be found or my glasses are nowhere to be found. And so that's just like the most frustrating and alienating and like worst feeling ever is when you just lose things mm-hmm. that were in your hand a minute ago. Also locking myself out goes into that because I've locked myself out of my house with my dog before and had to like break into through a window while holding my dog and then lift my dog through the window even though he was terrified and he was super confused about how he got into the house without going through the door.
I'm home. Wait, what is it? What?
How did I get in the bedroom? But yeah, so losing and forgetting things is just they kill me.
Mm-hmm.
It causes significant stress in my life.
Aww.
Should get you like a chalk tattoo on your forearm so you can just start making notes.
What's a chalk tattoo?
Oh, I don't know, but we should invent it.
Like a chalkboard tattoo? Yeah, like
you know how they have chalk paint for your walls and stuff that you can get?
I feel like that would just kind of restrict your skin and get really painful after that.
Well, let's buy some chalk paint and just put a strip on your arm.
I think we should just normalize writing on our arms because my life would be significantly easier if you didn't look weird for walking around with a bunch of writing on your arm.
Did your parents have problems with you writing on your hands?
Yes!
And arms?
Everyone did, even school.
My mom hated it.
They'd be like, you're going to die of poison.
Ink poisoning.
Like,
no, I literally would come home with like my arms covered mm-hmm. in notes.
They just didn't want you to go over to your grandparents' house with stuff written
with
on
tattoos.
Your arms. And then be like, you know, everything your parents nitpicked you about was probably just their parents were going to be like, why do you let your kid run around with like ink all over his arms?
How it's illegal to have the interior light on in your car at night.
I was told that too when I was
everyone was. And it's not.
Oh, my parents just said, that bothers me. Turn that off.
Well, at least honest. Your parents were honest.
No one else's were, Tom.
Everyone. Oh, my parents lied to me plenty, I'm sure. Every parent does. Another one that goes also into my ADHD is just, so there's this thing that a lot of people with ADHD go through called rejection sensitivity dysphoria, in the sense that just the fear of rejection in general just kills you. So things like, and your brain likes to run circles around extremely minor things. So things like someone saw your message and didn't respond. Mm-hmm. You're just like, well, I guess they hate me now. Like that's where your brain goes instantly. And also just, you know, fear of failure and inadequacy are just constantly a thing I'm worried about, to the point that like when I was in school, you know how teachers are always like, a 50 is better than a 0. It's like, no, it's not. It's the same thing.
it's technically the same grade.
So it would be things like, you know, they would be like, we'll just like turn in your homework half complete. And it's like, no, I'm not turning in crappy Aww. Work. So that really hurt me. And especially like with math, it was a lot of times when I didn't do my homework and stuff, it was literally, I'd get a couple problems in it and be like, I suck at this. I'm a failure. No point in trying.
Mm.
So that's always been like at the forefront of my mind, is just that people constantly hate me and that I'm going to fail at everything. And I know it's an irrational fear, but my brain's kind of a jerk that way.
Shane, I think he's starting to figure things out. No, I just like leaving people on read. I think it's fun.
I just sometimes have a life.
Sometimes I leave it open.
We have been too conditioned to everyone has their cell phone on them, so everyone should reply right away, and it's not okay.
Right. I just sometimes I don't purposely do it. Like I try to respond if I can.
Yeah.
And I mean, any of this anxiety stuff and that's why I say it's irrational, because most like it's been shown that we're constantly thinking people are staring at us while people are constantly just staring at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone's thinking the same way you are. And they're like, do I look weird? Do I like, was that super awkward? And it's just our brain's way of being self-absorbed kind of. So I really try and temper that, but it's, like I said, my brain's kind of a jerk sometimes. So I'm just like, does Shane really hate me? Did I talk too much? did I overshare? Did I monopolize the conversation too much? That's just always on my mind. So, just y'all text me every 6 hours and tell me you don't hate me.
That's my life. Okay.
This one's a bit more serious. I'm absolutely terrified of political violence and the breakdown of our democracy, which this year gave me no reassurances. But, you know, like I said, my brain likes to run circles around things. I'm a political science major who wrote my senior thesis on American democracy and the preservation of it. So I, you know, anything that hurts our democracy or any people who are trying to cast doubt on free and fair elections really, really get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And just the idea that we're losing the thing that keeps us from settling our differences with violence because of certain people who can't afford to lose elections and fail when they're just the worst presidents in the history of the world. Sorry to get political on this. I just, you know, it's very, very frustrating and scary to me. The things I've been seeing from a certain party in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But those are really my fears. My last one is dolls.
What kind of dolls?
Like the creepy looking ones? Yeah.
Like Raggedy Ann's creeps me out, but I could be in a room full of Raggedy Ann's. Like, if you're gonna kill me, like, you don't have thumbs,
but you know, like the ones that come to life at night and try to take your soul.
I don't understand what it was with our grandparents' generation of having creepy old babies in their house that don't look real. Like, why do we have tiny creepy babies in our grandparents' houses? But my main fear was there was this doll that had a pink dress on. And my grandmother kept it at the end of her long hallway that you had to walk down to use the bathroom. And the light was always off on that hallway. You know how you get that feeling that someone's chasing you in the small of your back when you're like walking away from something? I sprinted down the hallway from that doll every time I used the bathroom at my grandmother's house. I was terrified of that doll. And then when I was in high school, I had a nightmare that I was hanging out in my grandmother's house alone. And I was looking at that doll, and it had its normal face. And then I turned away and looked back, and it had a different face. So dolls are terrifying to me. I know they're not going to come alive. I was with my high school girlfriend. We had gone to Michigan with her family, and I was staying in a separate part of the house because, you know, high school boyfriends can't stay
girlfriends and all can't even stuff. Be in the same house.
I was actually on a different floor, but that entire floor was full of creepy old dolls, and the house looked like the house from The Strangers, movie with the masks and stuff.
Yep.
So I was already afraid of being murdered and surrounded by a bunch of murder dolls in like a house built in the 1920s in Michigan. So there was just all kinds of haunted stuff in that house, and I don't do dolls. I you know, like, why do all dolls before like 1980 look absolutely terrifying? Like, did people sleep with nightmares growing up?
Yes. Weren't dolls originally invented to like hold spirits of children or something like that?
I'm sure that's not the plot of Annabelle.
Back in the day, like, isn't that what the whole original point of why there were, why dolls were made? Or maybe it was like to hold the ashes of children.
I don't know.
Maybe I made that up. Don't quote me on that one.
Little Jimmy out back playing with his dead brother's ashes.
There he is with little Sarah Beth. Oh, is Sarah Beth a new neighbor? Oh, no, that's the doll we put them ashes in.
One of our 18 children died tilling the field.
It's awful you guys don't make me laugh.
My bad.
But yeah, now y'all know how to get to me. Just don't answer text messages. Whoa. Walk around with dolls.
Oh, my best friend Cindy and I, her boyfriend doesn't like dolls, and I found one at a creepy place and bought it, and we put it in his office at work, and he trashed it, but...
Oh my god, y'all are terrible.
I know!
I'm not sharing my real list, I'm making everything up now. You know, use it against me.
Never.
Tom, is that why you haven't seen the Chucky movies?
I haven't seen the Chucky movies, and I don't know, Chucky doesn't, like, creep me out as a doll, I just... I'm behind on a lot of the classics.
Well, I'm very excited because when you guys leave my house today, I'm watching the show. The new season started.
I need to
the
watch
show
it too.
Started
yes.
last night. And I don't have cable, so I don't have a way of watching it live. I tried to watch it live through the app, but it wouldn't work. So mm-hmm. I'm watch it tonight. I'm really excited.
Yay.
Do I need to share my list now? My
you
real
do.
List?
You do.
Okay. So I was trying to think about my list of like fears. So I have a really terrible fear of spiders, and it was really bad in high school. Like, I would, like, break out in hives if I saw a spider. Aww. Like, that's how freaked out I got by them.
Like, spiders or anything that looks like a spider, like the granddaddy long legs?
Spiders. Didn't matter what kind. Any kind.
Okay.
And, well, eventually, you know, I had to grow out of it for the main reason of that I started dating somebody, my now husband, who also didn't like spiders, and I had no choice but to suck it up and deal with them for him. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know if that's... the machoism in me of being the protector or whatever, but I felt like I had to, so.
I mean, one of you would have to.
But when there's other people in my life that'll take care of it for me, like Thomas, I have no problem reverting back to screaming and jumping on a chair and having somebody else do it.
Just put a cup over it, slide the paper over it, take it outside,
give it
a bath,
what if
go?
You don't get the cup over it right the first time and it jumps at you?
Then it probably won't hurt you.
Probably.
Spy.
Is there a chance that it can?
If it's one of the poisonous ones, maybe.
I heard some statistic about poisonous spiders that like more people die running away from spiders than getting bit by them.
Well, I will die running away because I hate them. I also had a really big fear of clowns growing up. Like I hated anything to do with the clown, and it was from It. Like I watched mm-hmm. It as way too young of an age.
Not Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
No, that movie was... funny.
I told you that my brother used to wear a clown nose because of that movie, and my mom thought it was because he loved clowns, and it was because he wanted to blend in if they ever came, so they wouldn't kill him.
Oh, that's the most precious thing I've
it
ever
is.
Heard.
Oh. For a moment, I thought you were going to be like, because he wanted to scare me.
Yeah, because he was trying to terrorize me, and my mom just
thought
he was
being
cute.
No, I wasn't afraid of clowns, Brett was.
Oh. Well, I mean, and now, like, in the past few years, you've had those instances with creepy clowns, so now it's like legitimate kind of normal to be afraid of them because they're not like we don't really have circuses anymore, but they're popping up in woods and just staring at you or outside your window.
Hello, Shane. So you know, those were just like fears that I had growing up. I also, this is gonna sound so stupid and vulnerable, and I don't even want to say
no,
it.
No, say it.
One of the big things that happened to me that I became afraid of was after I was adopted, I got really, really afraid of disappointing my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that always kind of was in the back of my head whenever I would do stuff. If I was out with my friends, is that I would always, if I do this, is my mom going to be disappointed in me? And that really kept me from drinking in high school and partying too hard in high school. You know, I definitely broke curfew a couple times and I definitely did some things I shouldn't have done. Mm-hmm. But I would say 94% of the mm-hmm. time, which is still an A.
Yes.
I did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody can be perfect.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Nowadays, I have a fear of, you know, losing my family
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. You know, my husband, my child, my mom. I have a really, really bad fear of losing my mom. Like I know that that will be a terrible day for me.
Mm-hmm.
A month, maybe even a couple months. Mm-hmm. Cause I am a spoiled mama's boy. cause I'm a mommy special doll soldier. But I also was trying to think of like, what are some things that I'm afraid of that actually impacts my life and makes a difference in my mm-hmm. life? So I have two irrational fears.
Yes.
I live like in my daily life, I don't put ceiling fans on the highest setting that they can go. It scares me.
I feel that.
Okay.
I know that they're designed to be able to do it and they're not supposed to fall and blah, blah, blah. But there's just something about a ceiling fan being on high that literally makes my stomach start turning in knots. And I feel like it's like the butterfly in your stomach feeling. Mm-hmm. Like I feel sick. And I think it's because when I was a kid, I watched an episode of Tales from the Crypt where they like turned on a light switch and then the ceiling fan came down and it had like razor blades in it and it was like chopped them all up.
I was going to ask if this was like a Final Destination thing, because I could imagine that being in the movie too.
Something, yeah, I'm sure, or some other
like item jogging maybe. Behind a log truck. Yeah. Now that none of us do, no one in the world does anymore.
Nope.
When in reality, you know, if you really like stuck your hand up into a full blast fade, you'd probably just break all the things.
Yeah. But I still like, no matter how hot it is, I still I don't put the ceiling fan on high because
I've had some sketchy ceiling fans that I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, some ceiling fans are just not installed properly, or they're 100 years old. So they're like,
and I don't want to sleep under one because I know people have them in their bedrooms. It's like right over their bed. I'm like, if that falls, it's going to fall on you.
So the one that's in our bedroom is like not directly over us. It's kind of like down and to the left. So if it fell, the worst it would do, it hit Corey's feet.
Yeah.
So
and that's okay. That's acceptable. That's how you would want it.
But that still is only going on medium. Like I never have it on high. I don't know why. Like, I mean, I do know why, but it's.
Yeah.
Oh no, Reggie, that fan's on high right now.
Well, yeah, no, and your guys, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, the antler thing going on, like the country thing, so.
Well, and it's not even just that one, it's every place I've ever lived, even in my bedroom in high school, I didn't have the ceiling fan on high because that was something I had a fear of. All right, and this next one is ridiculous, and you guys have to just, like, not make fun of me or anything like that. I have an irrational fear of having my throat slit by a piece of cardboard. I don't know what I saw or what happened to me that caused this fear. But
I'm trying to think like how
would happen. So paper cuts. Yeah. I don't like paper cuts, really freak me out. Like the idea of like cutting, I hate that idea. And
chills.
So then the idea of like a card, because you know it's thicker paper essentially. And like, I don't know. So
it would have to go probably like ear to ear and be pretty
cool. Oh yeah, but I mean in my mind it's just like a and then I'm dead.
So that's how it happens
in the movies. But I used to work in retail a lot, and you know when you get shipments in you have giant boxes and you have to break down
and
the boxes.
Cardboard cuts and cardboard. Are a thing.
Yeah, I've definitely cut my finger on cardboard before. And so I mean it's not that far fetched to think that you could get a paper cut just on your neck. Maybe it won't kill you, but that fear is real. So like I don't like carrying cardboard out. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but I normally ask somebody else to take the cardboard out.
I mean, I did today.
I don't like doing it because I have this really weird fear of it. And if I do take the cardboard out, I won't carry it like any way other than like away from my neck.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because of the movie Sinister, but I have like a big fear of having my throat slit while I'm asleep.
Just like period?
Just like a killer coming in. Like, so like if I'm like sleeping like this, I end up like rolling over and...
Do you guys ever have that second of sleeping where your foot goes out from under the blanket and then you're like, oh God, no.
Oh no, I tuck my covers in I don't get out from under them.
I have to have a cover on me, but I also have to have my foot outside of
them. What do you do when the monsters come up from under the bed and grab your feet?
I don't know. I still am trying to figure out what position I fall asleep in every night.
I'm a stomach sleeper, so I know.
It takes about 30 minutes of tossing and turning and then I fall asleep and don't remember what position I fell asleep in.
Well, that pretty much is what my fears are when I was trying to think through it. I don't like being scared. I know that it sounds weird. I like scary stuff, but I don't like being scared.
Oh,
so like, I don't enjoy going to haunted houses because for me to go through a haunted house, I need somebody bigger than me in front of me so I can hold on to their shirt and put my head into their back.
So when are we going to a haunted house?
Because that's how, but then it's just a waste of money for me to do, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not seeing anything. I'm just scared.
I don't know. Getting scared is pretty fun.
I normally like it once it's started, but like it's that anticipation of like, oh my God, how scary is it going to be? Like, I don't like that. And then I have a weird irrational fear of like monsters. Like, I'm not worried about the best example I can do is that we were going to plant a bush at our house and then it started raining. So we went inside. And so the hole that we had started digging filled with water.
Mm-hmm.
So our roommate at the time was like, hey, let's go out and put our feet in the water. And I was like, there are monsters in there. You know, that's how, you know, that's how Carol Ann got pulled down in Poltergeist or whatever. And they were like, oh, I'd be more worried about snakes. And I was like, grow up. There are no snakes going into the water.
See, I was thinking anacondas, but
yeah, okay. But I literally was like, grow up. There are no snakes going into this water. And they were like, oh, yeah, but there's definitely monsters. And so that's where my brain goes. Like, I don't worry about, like, flesh-eating amiibos in the lake. I'm worried about the monster that's at the bottom of the Butler City that was flooded when they were swimming above.
That is eerie.
You know, just stupid stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So that, not stupid.
That's me. That's my vulnerable moment. All right, Shane, you
so
go.
So now we know how to now we have plenty of ammunition against me and Reggie. Let's hear about Shane and how we can manipulate you.
The first thing I want to say is actually very easy, and it's my irrational fear. And I don't know if it's a fear or not. It's weird. Because I used to tell people I have an irrational fear of sponges. But it's not like I see a sponge and I'm like, oh, my God, get that away from me. I mean, I'm kind of that way, but it's more of like the texture. I don't like to touch sponges. It's very hard to talk about. I need something the feeling of an actual sponge.
I feel you, man.
Makes me want to grind my teeth to the point where they can lock, and then I can grind them all out.
I can,
sponges.
I can tell. Yes. I can tell the feeling you're having, and it's the same feeling I have when I hear about nails on a chalkboard.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just like that.
The idea of like scratching my nails on something like a chalkboard or like touching a wooden spoon. I can't stand like wooden cookware. Or there were like these knives from back in the day that were like matte metal.
Uh-huh.
Like the handle was matte metal, and it literally was like rubbing your teeth on a chalkboard. Touch it.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah. So I know where you're coming with that.
Yep. So I just can't. I can't do it. Like there are certain types of sponges now that they've gotten better, but you know, like a Brillo sponge, can't do that. The sponge balls you used to make when we were younger.
Do you use a dishcloth to wash your dishes then?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm the complete opposite of that. I hate dish cloths.
Like the texture or just because they can both hold germs?
I don't think it's the texture. It's the same thing with washcloths. I don't like a wet washcloth.
Really?
Dishcloths specifically. Mm-hmm. I think dishcloths are just disgusting. my ex-sister-in-law used to get the dishcloth at my parents' house and then chase me around the house with it because she knew how much I hate it. So I feel you, man. I feel you.
Well, and I also, one of those, like, do you guys remember when we were younger and they made, like, that ball from sponge that they'd have in all the stores?
The ball.
Like, it was just a ball from a sponge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think, like, I had this really horrible moment, like, someone threw one at me and hit me in the face and grazed my teeth and,
it touched your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been tainted forever.
I know. And it's just, I gotta write down something. Feeling has passed. So that's my first irrational one. And the second one's kind of irrational, probably really like cliche or whatever, but I really, really have a fear against failing.
Failing.
Yes.
You?
No. I'm a perfectionist and I've grown to the point now where I understand it is going to happen in life. But I don't want to fail at anything, and I know I'm going to. And I also, especially with my writing, I don't want to fail in ever getting my work published and becoming that author who gains notoriety, or not notoriety, but I guess fame, after he passes away. And everyone's like, oh, he had all these great works. I want to get them out now.
Me and Reggie start the Shane Miller Memorial Fund.
Mm-hmm. I feel you, man. I don't want to say I only recently failed at something, but I recently had a bout of failure myself, and it devastated. I mean, beyond what I even knew it did.
Mm-hmm.
Until after I got out of it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I guess I really did get rocked to the core there, didn't I?" So I feel you, man.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's the same way. Like, I never, like, math was not my strongest suit, so I think that's why I even struggled more in it, because I was more frustrated and, you know, more scared of failing as opposed to just actually not learning the subject and struggling with that aspect of it.
It's a way of self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone has, not everyone's an egomaniac, but everyone has an ego, and
yes,
our ego likes to preserve its image of itself. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when we decide to quit things before we start them, it's literally just our ego preserving its.
Oh, I can't.
Preserving itself.
I can. Ugh. Yeah. But yeah, the perfectionist in me is terrible.
Never give up, never surrender.
Yes.
Tony Shalhoub.
Next on my list, getting into like more actual fears, pitch black darkness. And I'm talking about the kind where you cannot see your hand in front of your face.
Whatever you just said set off my game system over there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Weird. See, I have that effect.
See, then, talk about darkness and then the evil starts happening.
I know, every day.
It but, constantly follows me.
So two of the reasons, so the main reason why I don't like it is because one, you know, it can feel suffocating at times, especially like I live in a basement apartment. So when we have blackouts, sometimes if I am especially in my bedroom or just depending on what part of the house I'm in, be pitch black, nothing, have to feel for walls and what's around me. But I also don't like it because, again, as I've mentioned before, I experience supernatural things, so I always feel like I'm being watched. And especially, like, if I'm in bed, I feel like there are just crowds and people around the bed, like shadow people.
Sometimes like kind of see them. Like the Sith Eternal from Star Wars.
He doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yes, yeah, I don't
know. You just have a cult of Sith watching you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, because I mean, I mentioned I see shadow people, and it's worse in the dark. That's why I sleep with the TV on, because my windows in my room are windows, but there's very little light that can kind of actually come through.
Now, is that every place that you've ever lived, or is it just this one place that you've
lived? It's this current place that I'm living.
Well, maybe you should move that place.
I know, but I also really like it for different reasons.
Has the owner of the house killed people and kept them under the stairs or something?
No, I mean, technically we're under the stairs.
You're the people under the stairs.
Yes.
Oh, so you're the Gacy.
No, but it's just, I don't know. I had a fear of the dark when I was younger. And then I got over that because now, like, I can walk outside and as long as, you know, it's not a cloudy night and the stars are shining and there's light and I can see the moonlight, I'm fine. But if it's pitch black, nope, do not like it.
So leaving my house is not terrible?
No.
Okay. There's enough light for you.
Yeah.
Good.
That actually reminded me of another one of my fears that I left off, but I want to hear the rest of yours, Shane.
Well, the only other one I could think of, which I talk about frequently, like I really, really don't like snakes. And I've been forced to face this fear in this house that I've lived in for the last 5, going on 6 years now, because little baby black snakes will like to get in often during the warm weather period.
Little snakes. They visited Shane.
It's terrible. Yeah, and once or twice there was normal, I guess what you would call normal sized snakes, they kind of got in, and they're always in the back of the house, and that's where my room is, and one was in my room once, and I had to wake up my roommate. And together, we, and by we, I mean mainly she, got it out. But snakes just creep me out. And I think part of the reason is, I've mentioned before, they don't have limbs, which is weird.
They're just muscle ropes.
Yeah, it's, ugh, and their tongues, and that's how they sense things. And I just can't with them. And there was an actual, you know, 7-foot snake near my house one day. So, like, they're anacondas now, and they're taking over Florida.
It's just a matter of time before they make their way up here.
Yeah, no, we need to, like, you know,
kill them with fire.
We don't have any listeners from Florida, so we just need to abandon Reptilia Land, because that's what it is.
Yeah, just going to burn it down right now.
Or cut it off, let it go away. I also seen this meme, you know, let's switch it with Italy. Italy would look so good down there.
Would look good down
there. We need
there.
The little
boot. We have a little high heel instead of a penis on the ass.
You trying to emasculate America?
But yeah, snakes, I'm totally Indiana Jones with his whole snakes. I hate snakes. That's it. That's
growing up, my house was screwed because my dad was afraid of snakes, I was afraid of spiders, and my mom was afraid of rodents. Like, I wasn't even allowed to have like a hamster or a gerbil.
You'll have like a triforce of like killing things for each other.
I remember waking up in the mid on a Saturday early from my mom screaming because there was a snake where she was gardening that, like, snapped at her. So there I am in my underwear with a scythe trying to kill the snake while my mom is screaming and my dad is just inside like, I am not going outside.
I'll tell this really quick story because it's also kind of funny. When I first started working at my current place, there was a manager who we had, like, a little get-together at his house, like a little cookout or something. And I went there, but what I didn't know was he was the snake man. Everywhere in his house, like he had a million pet snakes, and you know he had this big one out, and everyone was like, "Ooh, let it crawl on me," because it would go from like shoulder to shoulder and person to person. He had, like...
Heck no.
I would see what I thought were gerbil tanks, because they had, like, you know, that little gerbil stuff down the bottom that you usually put in with rodents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would go over there, and they'd be like, oh, look at these little creatures. More snakes. And so I went and stood by what I thought was a fish tank. They were water snakes.
Did y'all ever have that guy come talk to your class?
Yes, and we all did.
Like, why did we have someone come to our class and let us hold snakes without ever telling us their qualifications? I'm pretty sure it was like an anti-drug presentation. It was like, come hold this giant snake with your fellow kindergartners to not do drugs.
That was just something that they did. Like, I remember doing it multiple times at multiple schools because I lived in multiple states and
so
countries.
This is like a ubiquitous, except for Shane, experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't have that experience, and I'm so thankful for it, too, because I've seen the pictures of it. You know, I know how, like, everyone, it was a giant python that could eat all those little children. You guys are really lucky.
And it took all of us to hold the damn
exactly.
thing up.
It was like a jolly...
Like, oh, Sarah's great. She loves people.
Like a jolly cokehead there telling us that everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, I got to run out to my van real quick. Okay, kids, let's hold some snakes!
Just a bump.
It was terrible, but when I was at this little get-together, you know, people were like, oh, they're snakes. They won't hurt you. They're so friendly. And then, you know, the guy that was there jokingly kind of, and I say jokingly because I think he's a nice guy and he wouldn't really do this to me, but he was like, I could just bring it over to you and she would crawl right on you. And I was like, I will become Spider-Man to get out of this room. I will. Roof, ceiling, I will get there.
Shane actually ended up at a swinger party thrown by like an animal dealer without realizing it.
No, I ended up leaving. I don't think he listens to the podcast, so I can say why I left. But like, you know, everyone was handling a snake. And then he passed it off to someone else and then started rubbing the meat that he was going to roast on the grill without washing his hands. And I left.
You
I made up an excuse and left.
You didn't want snake juices on your food?
Nope. Just nope.
Well, I mean.
Very nice guy. I like him.
That doesn't mean that he's not a nice guy. You don't like him. He's just not hygienic enough for your standards.
Yeah, exactly. In his house full of snakes.
No is a complete sentence. And it's okay to have boundaries.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But yeah, that's the one thing that gets me. But like I said, I've had to face that fear of the baby snakes. They don't freak me out as much. I don't like when they try to run away from me when I get the dustpan, because that freaks me out a little bit.
Sorry,
and then I'll
come up by the tip of the tail.
Oh no. I could never. Nope.
Then what happens when they go...
Exactly. I mean, they're baby ring snakes, so I know they're not poisonous. And that's the thing. I know. I can see... Like, I'm from this area. I know how to tell which ones are the poisonous snakes. I don't like it, but when I see one,
black
I can
identify
them.
Black and yellow kill a feller. Red and yellow friend of... I don't remember.
Something I've never heard that.
Snakes versus...
The shape of their head. Poisonous. If they're diamond-shaped, they're poisonous.
Yeah, if they're diamond-shaped,
there's lots
shape,
of ways to tell if they got a poisonous snake.
Red and black friend of Jack. Red and...
Yellow.
Let it mellow? No, I don't know.
No, that's what I'm thinking of.
Red goes down. That's also a rule with snakes. Let the yellow mellow, the brown goes down. So, those are your fears?
Yeah, it's all I could think of. I'm sure there are other things that I'm kind of afraid of. I just, you know, I'm really not holding back. Those are my main ones, especially with snakes.
Your list reminded me of another irrational fear. I'm terrified of throwing up. Absolutely terrified of throwing up. And to the point.
I mean, it's not fun.
Can you burp?
I can't.
That's right.
I also haven't thrown up since like 1999.
How?
I don't know. I guess
there's
I'm
a stomach bug that goes around like every few years.
Yeah, maybe it comes out the other side, but I guess I'm just too tightly wound up
out.
Top. But yeah,
his esophagus is
the reason why I thought about that is you talking about you fall asleep with the TV on because like you you're like worried about ghosts. I used to fall asleep with the TV on because I had like this irrational thought that like I've never gotten a stomach bug falling asleep with the TV on watching. Like on the couch, but I did get a stomach bug that time. I didn't have the TV on.
What?
That was literally like that was a way of thinking throughout most of my childhood and teenage years. But yeah,
I'm
terrified
that.
Of throwing up.
Like, I mean, I'm afraid that my shoulder is going to come out of place again and I'll have to have more surgery, but it's something because I work on it now that I feel fairly confident about, but if I ever fall on it, then I really baby it. I'm like, no, I can't touch that. I can't do that. I can't lift that. Someone needs to do this for me.
He changes position so he's not standing next to certain people.
No.
Like, you know, things like that.
No. Reggie killed Shane in a past life.
I didn't kill him in a past life. I ripped his arm out of socket.
He didn't rip it out of socket.
In this life. He says that I didn't, but I think I hurt him worse than he actually tells me that I did. But we were doing the curtain call practice, and I didn't know. So I just grabbed his hand and threw it up and did my bow and was just like, yeah! And then it wasn't even until later did I find out about it. I still feel really bad.
No, please don't. That's why we didn't want to tell you, because I was like, I'll just stand over here next to this person who he and I barely touch hands.
Like, oh, Shane just doesn't want to stand next to me anymore. No, not at all.
Oops. Not at all. I just, my arms can only go so high. I mean, and when I was in another play, you know, one of her other friends was like, let me try this. I think it'll look really good on stage. And I said, okay. And I let her try it. And I was like, ow, that really hurt. I need to go ice them now.
Was that Amy?
It was Amy. She felt terrible about that as well, but I was like, no, I gave you permission to try it. It's okay. And they didn't break, so we're good.
He's like a bird. He's got hollow bones.
For real.
It also means he can fly.
We don't talk about that on the podcast.
And also that you can't give his bones to dogs.
No.
No.
Because I'll choke on them.
Yes. But that's my fears.
Well, y'all, we definitely just... taught the world how to destroy us.
Any supervillains out there who want to take us down know exactly the key points to go after.
But if they do it, that's where we all conquer all of our fears.
Mm-hmm. We conquer our fears or we lose the things that we're
feared of. Or we become supervillains before someone can touch us.
I'm pretty sure I would be a villain if, like, okay, tonight's moonlight touches everybody and we all start getting superpowers, I'm 90% sure that I would end up becoming a villain. Not because of like being a bad person and like wanting to kill people or anything, but just like...
Just your luck.
Just how my brain works. I would be... Because like Corey and I will watch something and it's like, they're handling this all wrong. They should just kill him. Yeah. And then everything is answered.
You'd be the pragmatic
I mean, that's
villain.
The answer in The Walking Dead.
Right.
Well, y'all, this was really fun. Do y'all have anyone you want to shout out before we leave?
Always shout out Willow Mountain Woodwork, Custom Furniture, Jimmy, my buddy. He's back in the shop making stuff. If you need anything made here in the high country, local, custom,
fancy. Might fix my treadmill deck for me that came without holes pre-drilling it.
Jordy Marie Games, she's on Twitch. She's been playing some Animal Crossing. She's also been doing some other game that I cannot think of what it was called right now. But last night she did a maze. With her Animal Crossing, which is fun.
Mason Blevins.
I was like, no, the way he went, I know this one. Mason Blevins, his book and his character on Twitch as well. Mm-hmm. What does he play? What's he twitching?
He twitches Minecraft. Is all nice. It's been thus far. Maybe he'll branch out. I don't know. He's really, really into that game right now. So
my kid plays Minecraft. Did. Maybe he still does. I don't know. What else? Who else? Whom else? Movies with Gabriel?
Uh-huh.
There is this really talented writer. His name's Shane Miller. Yes. Want to make sure we shout out him. And
there's this great podcast called Total Nerdless.
That's us.
Aww. Well, y'all, I think that was a great week. Mm-hmm. I kind of want us to be a Halloween podcast from now on, but
maybe we'll do another spooktacular episode next week.
Yes.
For the rest of the year.
Tune in.
Well, bye, y'all.
Bye.